In the morning, Gitmo Nation, and thank you for joining us once again for Just Getting By. My name is Sir Craig Jones, and I am joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Hey, it's Sir Andrew to you now.
That's right, we have a new knight, Sir Andrew Chemslave. He is not only a slave to chemistry, but he's also a knight. Isn't that sweet? So, and Chemslave was actually knighted by Mr. Curry in person, weren't you?
Yeah, I got meat cleavered.
Yeah. I had to laugh on today's episode, which, by the way, was one of the worst episodes I've ever heard in my life. He mentioned knighting somebody with a pizza cutter. So that made me think back to when he knighted you with that meat cleaver. That's funny.
Yeah, on that episode, he almost said he meated me.
You wish.
Nope.
I'm joking. All right, so, Sir Andrew. Sir Chemslave, how about that? I'll call you Sir Chemslave.
That works.
I'll call you whatever the hell I feel like it, actually. I can't tell you how happy I am that I can call you Andrew now. For those of you that don't know, Sir Andrew was a little bit reticent about using his name at the beginning of this podcast, and it was such a pain in the ass to edit his name out when we were done recording, so I am so happy I don't have to do that anymore.
So you know what we should have done? Every time you said Andrew, we should have had, put like a voiceover. It's like, Chem Slave.
Yeah, like Chem Trail, like Chem Slave. Yeah, that'd be cool. Or I could have just done like a bleep so that they would have no idea what I was saying, and it could have been anything.
Yes.
But yeah, Chem Slave would have been cool. Yeah. Oh well. So anyway, Sir Andrew, we've had a hell of a week. I mean, sometimes a week goes by and you don't get much to talk about. And then sometimes a week goes by and it's like the apocalypse. And you have story after story after story. And I did two breaking news stories on this stream over the last week, and we're going to talk about those topics more in depth. The first really big story that happened was that Google bought Motorola. This has the potential to shake up the whole industry, and I talked about this at length at the time, but let's go back and talk a little bit about it now. So, Google has always been a software company, right? They don't make anything, do they?
Nope.
No, they don't. But they make software, and they make Android, and they give it away for free, although they do have some licensing stuff, but basically they give it away for free, and companies license the operating system, and they build hardware to run Android. Now, one of those companies is Motorola, and they are very famous for doing the Droid line for Verizon. Most of the Droid phones are Motorola phones. The Droid 123, the Droid X was a Motorola device. There are several other Droids that Motorola does. HTC does the Droid Incredible, but aside from that, I believe most Droid phones on Verizon or Motorola. Now, Motorola is not a profitable company, at least not Motorola Mobility. They lost money last quarter, but regardless, Google bought them for $12.5 billion, which is about 66% above what they were really worth, according to the stock market, when they closed last week. So Motorola is interesting because they have among the biggest patent treasure troves of the cell phone industry. They've got several thousand patents, like 15 or 20,000 patents. And people are speculating that Google may have bought Motorola just for the patents, because they kept getting sued by Apple, Microsoft, and many other people for patent infringement.
May have. I think it's more the have part than the may have.
Really? Why do you say that?
I don't know. Google seems to be this company that sort of buys shit and just renames it Google something. Like, Google Voice was, I think, like Grand City or something like
Grand
that.
Grand
Central, yes.
Yep.
So it's probably just one big grab for patents and making a better phone.
Well, you could absolutely be right. But you just mentioned two things there. You mentioned patents and making a better phone. That's really two separate categories, because one is legal and one is production. So I am not. Neither of us are lawyers, and we're not qualified to talk at length about patent litigation. But it is quite obvious that Google needed to do something to be able to say, hey, if you sue us, we can sue you. So watch yourself. Because Google, up until a few months ago, had like 1,000 patents. I mean, it was something pathetically small. They had almost no patents in the cell phone space. And this just made them a big, big player. But you also mentioned making a better phone. And this is what interests me. And this is what really got my attention for this discussion. Making a better phone. Motorola Droid Android phones are fantastic. You might not like Android, and I'm not. I have an Android phone. I don't use it as my primary phone. I'm more of an iPhone guy. I know you are definitely an iPhone guy. I'm not somebody that absolutely loves Android, but I'll tell you something. Those Droid devices were top of their class. There hasn't been a new Droid released in a while, so they're no longer the premier Android phone. But every Droid that came down the line was the premier Android phone for its time. Beautiful devices. And it is telling that Google wanted to buy Motorola. Because Google now has the capability to build anything they want and tailor it to their Android experience. Now, the thing is, I see a lot of reporting speculating that Google may not do that, because it is totally antithetical to what they have done in the past. It is opposite of how they have run Android. And even if you do not believe their open stance, if you think that open is a relative, you know, phrase, and I'm one of those people. I think calling Android open is like, you know, it's not an accurate statement. But even if you think that, to go and make your own device, it flies in the face of everything Google has done. But I think they're going to anyway. And this
would be retarded if they didn't do that.
Well, what they could do, though, is they could spin off the hardware division of Motorola and sell it to somebody, or, you know, spin it off into its own company again and just get the patents. They could do that. And if this isn't successful, they probably will do that. But I think you and I must be in agreement. They're at least going to try. But there's a specific reason why I think they're going to try to make their own phone, and that is to make a ecosystem of pure Android phones. Now that Motorola is under the umbrella of Google, do you think they are going to put the MotoBlur skin on the Android UI? No, they're not. They're not going to put MotoBlur on top of Android. There's no way in hell Andy Rubin, who is the Android lead, is going to allow anything but the stock Android experience on these phones.
What is the Moto Blur?
Moto Blur is this kind of... You know how, like, that Fisher-Price look that Windows XP had? The deep yes. blue and the deep yellow, the deep green, you know, that stuff. Well, that's
those are beautiful colors.
Yeah, I didn't actually mind them in Windows XP, but Motorola uses those same colors in their UI for Android. Buttons are different, menus are different. There are different widgets, and they're colored differently. Those deep blues and greens. And that's the worst UI on Android, Moto Blur. Now, to be fair to Motorola, they have downgraded that. Back in the Android 1.6 and 2.1 days, Moto Blur was like an operating system unto itself. I mean, this thing was huge, it was slow, you couldn't escape it. But they have really scaled back Moto Blur to the extent that you can really start to see the real Android experience. But even so, it's just different looking menus, different looking buttons, different looking application icons, different looking applications. The camera app is different from Moto Blur. The phone app is different in Moto Blur. It is not an optimal experience when you have one Android device that runs Moto Blur and one Android device that runs HTC's UI called Sense. That's not what you want. And a way to avoid that is to have Google have multiple phones out in the market that HTC and Samsung, who also has their own UI, if they have... Those companies and others like LG, Vizio, Huawei, things like that, they have to compete now with Motorola. And Motorola is going to have this clean, Google-approved UI. And people are going to naturally flock to that because, quite frankly, the stock Android UI is the best UI. So I think this is a really clever way to... get other manufacturers to start to compete seriously for Google's favor and to get Google to support them. And one way to do that is to play by Google's rules and not have these complicated add-on UIs. So I think Motorola's purchase will definitely allow Google to exert influence over the other handset manufacturers in that regard. But another important aspect of this is now that Google has Motorola, they will be able to push out updates to all the Motorola phones quicker because there will be no add-on UI. The custom UI is always what kept these phones from getting updated right away because you had to retool Android for this updated UI. It took months. So now, for Motorola, this isn't going to be an issue. Excuse me. This isn't going to be an issue. And that, again, places a strain on other manufacturers. If they're not updating their phones as regularly, that's going to be looked on as a negative by consumers. And in an age where the iPhone is more and more competing against Android, being on more carriers and offering more options, these handset makers need to do everything possible to compete not just against Apple, but now against Google, who is doing a very Apple-esque thing and uniting hardware and software under one roof. What do you think?
The Apple comparison is very good. I'd actually be slightly excited if I was like an Android, like using an Android phone right now, because if Google actually goes like the whole, well, we're going to control the hardware and the software all at once and build a much better like phone experience, have everything work seamlessly with each other, we might have a Apple like iPhone killer. I don't foresee that happening in the near future, but it is a possibility they might actually create a device that is much better than an iPhone.
Well, I don't know. You know, a lot of people fault Android for, quite frankly, being Android. And no matter how good the device itself is, as long as it runs the Android operating system, it could not possibly be as good as the iPhone. It's just what you like. What you like and what you don't like. So, you know, you're absolutely right. People that are Android users today should be very excited. And even those that are thinking about becoming an Android user are going to be more likely, if they know what they're doing, to go with Motorola in the future, because Motorola will be the approved Google experience. Does anybody really believe, and some tech journalists evidently do, but I can't believe that anybody really believes that Google will just shove Motorola someplace, not talk to them, and treat them as if they're not connected? That would be such a stupid thing to do, not to have them do what Google wants them to do. I can't imagine that being the case. Like, can you imagine Motorola doing a Windows Phone 7 device now?
Hell no.
No, of course not. But yet, if they were truly independent, they should, in theory, be able to do that. But of course, they will not. So, we're not talking about true independence. So, you know, that's definitely something to keep in mind. It's got the potential, and this is why we're talking so much about it, and why I did a breaking news update on Monday about this. This has the potential to shake up the tech industry. Because Google is blatantly copying Apple. And not just in this, but they have also been tightening their controls on licensing Android as well. Now, once they make Android open source, anybody can do whatever they want to with it. But if you want to be able to tie into Google's services, and if you want to be able to get builds of Android before they're open source, you need to license that from Google. And they have tightened those qualifications so much that Google is really starting to look like an Apple wannabe in terms of control over the Android experience. Now, they would never want to admit this, but it's an unavoidable comparison, even before this Motorola deal. But now, especially because of the Motorola deal, the comparisons to Apple are going to keep coming and coming and coming. Until we get to the point where I would not be at all surprised to see Google favoring its own hardware division at the expense of other device manufacturers. What do you think?
Well, that's sort of common sense right there, Craig.
Well, you would think so, but a lot of people disagree with that.
Of course, a lot of people don't have common sense.
Well, a lot of really smart people that I would be hesitant to say don't have common sense. A lot of people that have been doing this for longer than we have don't seem to think that's going to be the case. But I just can't. That's such a huge asset. I can't imagine them saying, oh, nope, we're going to tie one hand behind our back and we're not going to allow ourselves to capitalize on having this hardware manufacturer. I can't imagine that being the case.
The more time people work in a certain industry, the more they become slightly enamored with themselves.
Well, that's possible. That's possible. But some people, I think, put too much stock into the idea that Google did this only for patents, and that they don't really care about anything else. By the way, Motorola was getting their pants sued off them by Apple, and others as well. So it's not like Motorola's patents made them invincible. That's not the point. The point is for Google to amass enough patents so that it could countersue these companies, saying, if you sue us, fine, but I can sue you now. That's the whole point. It's kind of like, I've seen a lot of comparisons to the Cold War and mutually assured destruction. It's the same kind of situation. I have this weapon, you have this weapon. We can both hit each other with it, and it'll cost a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of innovation. Or we can just go our own separate ways, maybe do a licensing agreement. So, I really think that this is going to end up being a boon for the tech industry. I think it's going to be fantastic for Android. This is going to be amazing. And I for one, cannot wait to see what Android does with itself in the next year, the next 2 years. It has the potential to really become Apple-esque. I don't know. Do you have anything else to add about this?
No, not really. This is not my cup of tea.
Yeah. I know you were a little bit hesitant to do this story. You're not a big Android guy, are you?
I'm not a big talk about technology guy. I find technology interesting, but there's sometimes like going into the details of like a deal between two companies. That's like sort of going above and beyond what I think would be my competency on this subject.
Well, then, on Wednesday, you are going to be screwed. Because on Wednesday, we're going to go into even greater detail about possibly an even bigger story. And that, of course, is HP spinning off its hardware division and killing WebOS. But until then, I think it's time we wrap up. So, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed any podcast on the stream, or if you enjoy No Agenda itself, please donate to John and Adam. Go to Dvorak.org/NA or NoAgendaNation.com and donate. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on Wednesday. Say something.
Monkey.